interment. He mocked me for not just saying burial, but if you're that friend, you know who you are, and I appreciated that. While we were doing his interment service, I was reminded of a story that his friends told, or his kids told us about him, and it was right at the end of his life, and it was actually the last day, and actually one of the last things that he said. He woke up, and many of you know Everett. He spoke slow. He spoke in his own Everett sort of way, and he looked at his daughter Melanie and said, "Aw, I was just joking." And that was about the last thing he said. So that sort of encapsulates a little bit of where we're at this morning, as we're going to talk about a passage that correlates to that, but correlates in an odd sort of way. We're still on the disciples' prayer, otherwise known as the Lord's Prayer, but it wasn't really his prayer. It was an example of prayer. We've talked about that. And last week we talked about the beginning of it, right? Not the introduction, but starting in verse 9, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That was last week's sermon, right? Who God is, where he resides, and our desire for his will, his kingdom, to trump our will, to trump our kingdom. And now we move on to, for me, the most convicting phrase in this entire thing. "Give us this day our daily bread." Innocuous, at least when we first listen to it, first think about it. Yes, give us this day our daily bread. That's where we're going to be. That's the idea we're looking at this morning. So let's step back from that, and we're going to take a quick peek into the life of Brock, which I think is going to be emblematic of many of us. I like to not waste money. I like to buy what I need but not waste money. So I go to the hardware store, and I buy screws for a job. And I know when I show up that I need 4 screws in 10 different places, meaning that I need 40 screws. So I buy 40 screws. And do you know what I do 2 hours later? I buy more screws. I try to always have just enough, and I always end up going back to the store to get more, because either I don't know how to count, I don't know how to multiply, or something goes wrong. So I've started, when I talk to the hardware store and I'm going to buy X number of things, I've started saying, "Here's how many I need, so make sure I have that many plus whatever extra you think I need." One time they doubled the amount that I had. I still used most of them. But that's how I function now, trying to make it so I don't have to keep driving back to the store. I get extra from what I think I need. And then I do end up with a few extra screws or nails or whatever at home, but I find a place to use those, right? And that sort of becomes, as I've moved through life, it's become a shift in how I function. I try to get more than what I need so that I make sure that I don't run out. That's actually different than what this passage says. So we're first just going to take a glimpse at this phrase, recognize one particular aspect of it, and then we're going to step back and look at part of the introduction that correlates to this part of the prayer. So this prayer says, "Give us this day our daily bread." So if we were to rephrase that, we would say, "Lord, give me today the food that I need." For when? For today. Not the food that I need for tomorrow, not the food that I need for next week, but the food that I need for today. So let's step back from that. That's the idea, that's the concept, that's where the prayer is pointing us, but we're going to step back to the beginning. We start here in verse 5. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others." When these people go pray, and these people sometimes is us, sometimes not. But when they go and pray, they want the people around them to recognize that they are godly people. Oh, this is somebody who prays and they pray a lot. Oh, this person's praying. They must really be a good person. They must really be a good follower of Yahweh or of Christ now in our time. And what Jesus is saying is that when you do that, when you go and try to gain for yourself, when you try to go get other people's approval of you and God's approval at the same time, you're missing the point. Because your job, my job, is not to get other people's approval of our prayers or our thoughts or our righteousness, but our job is to simply put ourselves before Christ and say, I am coming to you when I'm not gaining from other people for it. I'm coming to you when I'm not going to get extra from somebody else because I've done it the good way. I've done it the way they approve of. I've done it the whatever. But we simply come before Christ and we put ourselves in a secret place, he says. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who sees in secret. Make it so that other people aren't trying to applaud you for what you're doing. Make it so that you're not trying to gain more, but rather make it so that you are simply putting yourself before Christ to gain reward from him for building and developing this relationship with him so that he would be the one who bestows that upon us. The hypocrites, on the other hand, are trying to get more. More what? More accolades, more fame, more notice from people in this passage. So then when he moves to this portion about give us this day our daily bread, don't ask for more than what you need. Don't try to gain more than what you need. That goes back to this portion where it's talking about the hypocrites. The hypocrites, the people who are two-faced. If you're not familiar with that, with what that word means, it's a drama term. And we do dramas differently today than they used to do in Jesus' time. In our day, we have cameras, we have different rooms, we've got all this editing equipment, and we've got a person who stands here and talks to another person who may or may not actually be in the same room at the same time, but they talk to each other and have this conversation. That's not how they did it there. We have plays even where we get multitude of people who show up and they all do their own part in the play, but that's not what they did here. Here, frequently in their dramas, you would either have two masks that you would hold on sticks, and you'd stick a mask in front of your face and you'd speak as the happy person. And then you'd pull that one off, you'd put another mask in front of your face with a sad face, and you would be the sad person. Or you would turn and face this way, letting this side of your face or mask be seen by the people, and then turn to play another character facing this way, making you two-faced. Or having two faces if you use the two different masks. That's the word hypocrite. Hypocrite means to have two faces. It's like a split personality. When you're standing this way, acting things out, you act one way. The good Christian who shows up at church on Sunday morning and is kind to people and who's loving and who says nice things. And then you go to work and you're facing this way and you're this other person who's mean and manipulative, who's focused on gaining money, who's focused on anything other than Christ. That's this hypocrite mindset, perspective. It's that you're one way when you're here and you're another way when you're here. You're one way in this circumstance, you function differently in another circumstance. And that is simply not okay. And so in this case, what we're seeing is people whose prayers make them hypocrites. They prayed to Christ so that he would be the focus of what they're praying for and he would be the actor in making things happen, but then they're trying to gain for themselves in the same time. We've just prayed in this prayer, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now the hypocrites would change and say, now I want to make sure that I get extra for myself as well. Extra fame in the introduction. But when it comes to the prayer, he's talking about getting extra food. You know, he's not saying, Lord, give us this week the food that we need for the week, or even give us this week a little bit extra food than what we're going to need for the day. He says, give us today the food that we need for today. And that's it. I'm glad, right, that this is just about food, right? We can take this literally, and Jesus is only saying the only problem that you could have getting extra in is food. Is that true? No, it's not true. You and I, all of us, struggle wanting more of what? Sort of everything. But each one of us will have different flavors of that. One person will want more money than what they need. One person will want more possessions than what they need. One person will want more influence than what they need. One person will want more power, more recognition, more fame, more whatever it is than what you need. And the non-hypocrite amongst us wants only what they need to get by. That's what they ask for. That's what it says. Now, that makes us ask a question. Is it bad to have more than what you need? No. Now, that almost makes me sound two-faced. But when we look at the story throughout the Bible itself, there were many people who had much. And that was okay. But the truth of what we see in them is that they never spent their life, the righteous ones, never spent their life trying to gain more for themselves. God just simply let them have it. Some of us in this room have made a lot more money than others, or a lot more money than others ever will. That's okay. That's not something to be ashamed of if you've made less. And it's not something to be ashamed of if you've made more. God has given different people different things so that they would be responsible in different ways before Him. Or responsible, maybe we would say, to different levels, in different aspects. And that's okay. A reminder that we all need as people frequently is that it is okay that God gave you something. Abilities, possessions, family, finances, whatever it is. It is okay that God gave that to you. It's not okay to flaunt that, right? It's not okay to use that to say, I'm of greater value than you who have less. It's not okay to do any of those things, but it's okay that God gave you more. And you know what? Conversely, it's okay if God gave you less. That's all right. And we need to be okay with that deeply in who we are. That we're okay with what God has or has chosen not to give to us. But when we come before Him, our prayer to Him must be that He provide what we need in the moment. Not that He just give us extra for the life. It's a really hard thing to do. To ask God only for what you need right now and not try to get more from Him than what you need. Why? Why would He call us to do that? That's an interesting question. What is it? What's the rationale behind Christ's prayer here that says, Father, give to me what I need for today? And it's interesting that He uses this concept of bread. It's also just part of how they functioned, what they ate. It was a normal part of their food. But it takes us back to a different point in time. And understanding this point in time will help us understand why He says what He says. We're going to go back to Exodus chapter 16. And you might not know off the top of your head what's in Exodus chapter 16, but you know what's in Exodus chapter 16. Exodus is the story of God's people exiting from Egypt and being in the wilderness before they go into the promised land, right? It's the exit after they were They were with Joseph and they were thriving in Egypt. Then they became slaves. God brought about Moses and Aaron. He led them out through 10 plagues. He led them across the Red Sea to provide for them, to protect them, destroying the Egyptian army in the process to demonstrate his power. And now here they are in the wilderness, not yet in the promised land, and they are short on something. Food. So they pray. Actually, they didn't. They grumbled. They grumbled and said, God must hate us to have taken us out of Egypt where life was really good and we had everything we needed and put us here where we have no food. Now, keep in mind, they were slaves. Keep in mind that Pharaoh killed all of the male boys under two only about 20 or 30 years before. Keep in mind, this was not a good place for them to be. And then they say, boy, it'd be better to be back there. It was so nice. And then God does what? Sprinkles down food across the ground called manna. A thin, wafery bread sort of thing that nourished them and tasted good. They loved it. And so he gives them this in Exodus chapter 16, and he tells them to do what? How much are they supposed to gather each morning? Only the amount they could eat that day. And if they took more than what they could eat that day and they sort of stored it away in a cupboard, do you know what happened? It rotted overnight. Worms came out of it and ate it up. But if they only gathered what they needed for that day, it was perfect. Except for the night before, the day before the Sabbath, they could get a double amount so that they didn't gather on the Sabbath. That was part of their process. They gathered what they needed for that day so that the next day they needed what? They needed God to give them more again. And therein lies the key to why Jesus says what he says here. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, give us right now for today the amount that we need for today so that tomorrow what? So that tomorrow I'm short again. What kind of prayer is that? I don't know anybody who wants to pray that prayer. God, make sure that I am short of what I need tomorrow so that I can depend on you to give it to me again. Oh, God, it would be fantastic if I got just enough and then I was in desperate need for more. Inside us, deep inside us, who wants to say that? Who wants God to just give them that much? Not really any of us. You know why? Because you and I are broken people. You and I are sinful, prideful, self-sustaining, I can do it myself, I'm strong enough people. And so we want to function in a way that says, I'll provide what I need. I'll provide what I'm going to need for tomorrow. And if God's going to do it, he's going to provide plenty so I never have to worry about it again. I don't have to depend on anybody. I am an independent person. But God looks at us and he says, to me, he says, Brock, do you not get it? The whole point of the cross is that you're not sufficient. You're not independent. You are absolutely dependent on me. And this is a way that you can live that out. By asking me to provide what you need, but only what you need, so that you can continue to depend on me and watch me work. None of us like, I mean, on a personal, temporary level, none of us like to be in a situation where God does a miracle to get us through. It's a really cool story, and when you look back on it, it's really neat to see him do that. And even in the middle, the actual act of him doing it is amazing. But none of us likes to be in that situation. It's not comfortable. It's not even very fun. But this prayer says, God, we want to be there. We want to be in a place where we see you do a miracle in our lives every day, where you provide in ways that we can't fathom or understand or expect every day. That's what this prayer really centers us on in this verse, in this phrase. It's innocuous when we first look at it. It seems simple and sort of pithy almost, because we even have a devotional called Our Daily Bread. And so give us today our daily bread. Yeah, make sure that I've got a devotional to read. Make sure that I've got the stuff that I need. Great. But what we're really praying in this prayer is that God would provide from His miraculous, sovereign, all-encompassing power what we need for right now, but not what we need for later. Friends, that's true for finances. It's true that we pray that God would provide what we need, and we don't need Him to provide anything more. He may choose to. Wonderful. It's fantastic. But that's His choice with His money to provide more for you or not. But we ask that He sustain us. We could talk about it in terms of possessions. God, I need to have these things, right? I mean, in our society, the way we function, most of us need a functioning car or vehicle to get us where we need to go, or we can't very easily get to our jobs, get to the grocery store, get to the whatever. God, provide me with a functioning vehicle. He may provide you with a Lexus, or He may provide you with a pedal bike. He may provide you with a 2002 Buick LeSabre that has a lot of miles and has been run into by deer and is rusting out in part of it. But you know what? It still turns on. It still runs. The air conditioner still works. The heater, not so much. At least not always. Right now, that's fine. Middle of February, wear a jacket if you're riding with me. That may be what He provides you with. And you know what? That's okay. He may provide you financially or possessionally with just enough to get by. And that's actually the easy part. It's easy for us to deal with it on that level. It's very concrete. It's very well understood and defined. But it goes beyond that. God, provide for me what I need today relationally. Provide for me what I need today to be gracious to my spouse, so that tomorrow I can depend on you to do it again, so that tomorrow I can depend on you to let me have the relational connectivity that I need. Provide for me today the patience that I need to deal with my children. Yeah, some of you know my children. Provide for me all of those things. And when we get to those more ethereal, abstract ideas, it becomes even harder than the things where we just say, do I have enough dollars and cents? Do I have enough food in the cupboard? Do I have enough gas in my car? Do I have a vehicle that gets me where I need to go? It's more difficult when we hit those ethereal things or abstract things, because something deep inside of us is never satisfied. We may say to God on Monday, God, I need somebody to connect to me relationally. And then it might not be the person you would choose who connects to you. But even if they do, the next day we say, now I need that plus a little bit more. I need that plus a little bit more. I need that plus a little bit more. And that's our tendency, to not just want enough to get by, but as we get by, want more to get by with. That's our brokenness playing out in life, where we want more than what we need, because we feel like we should have more. Because the person over there who has more, I think, than what I have, I'm jealous of them. I envy where they're at. That's what we do. So we start this prayer, our Father in heaven, understanding who you are, where you are, hallowed be your name. You are holy, beautiful, amazing, sovereign. You are the King. Your kingdom come. The one where you're the centerpiece and you're the ruler. Your will be done here in me and in us as a people, the same way that it's done in heaven. And now, Father, give me just enough for today that I can skate by today, so that tomorrow I can depend mightily on you to provide for me tomorrow what I need, so that I can just skate by tomorrow. So that on Tuesday I can have the same pattern, and Wednesday the same pattern, and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 2021, 2022, 20 whatever. So that I will just have enough to get by. That's all I need. And if he chooses to give you more, great. If he chooses not to, based on praying a prayer like this, you've already said that it's okay. So you don't get to be unhappy. You don't get to feel slighted because you've only asked him to give you enough to get by. We're all still here. So apparently you've gotten enough to get by, no matter how little that is. Give us today just enough to get by today, whether it's with my food and my money or my possessions, whether it's with my friends and my family and my relationships as I engage with people. Just give me enough to get by so that I can learn to depend on you more deeply every day, depending on you to provide every day what I need. This continues to become a more complex style of prayer than what we're used to. But we don't want to be the hypocrite who is two-faced. We don't want to be the hypocrite who's different, trying to gain from God and gain from people. We want to be that person who simply says, God, I only need what I need. I need nothing more. So provide today what I need, because I need you to provide it. And tomorrow, I will simply be blessed to know that I can depend on you to do it again. It's a crazy place to live. It's an amazing place to live. It's a difficult place to live. It's the place to live that we are called to, where we stop measuring ourselves by our abilities and how much we have in the bank, thinking that we've done so well with these things. We stop measuring ourselves by how much influence we have over the things that go on around us, and we start measuring ourselves by what type of faith do we have for God to provide what we need. That's who we are to be as people, and if we pray this prayer, that is what we're praying. If we pray this style of prayer, that's what we're praying. Wanting to see God do things that we can only see him doing and no one else. And when we see him do that, our faith grows. And when we see him do it again and again and again, when we see him do it amongst our friends and the people around us, our faith grows. And then we take that faith and we share it with the people around us so that they can see the God who provides not just what we need for this moment or this day, but the God who's guaranteed to provide for us for our eternity. So that when we hit the roughest points in life, the loss of loved ones who are followers of Jesus, we know what he's providing them. When we come to that point ourselves, we know what he's guaranteed to provide us after our death. That's what we're called to. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you for having given us what it is that we need for this day. We thank you for providing for us, for loving us, and we pray, Father, that we would be men and women who continue to learn and see how we can depend on you more and more. Depend on you more deeply, more truly, to provide what we need for each day. And let us, Lord, as followers of you, let us not confuse ourselves or the life around us and start comparing ourselves to others and wishing we had more than you've given us. Cause us to have the humility that we need to trust and depend. Cause us to lean more fully on your Spirit. We thank you for your Son, the life we have in him, and for you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.